Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash-landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous bread habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Potty Pod.
Episode 11.
We got it right this
double
time.
Double digits.
Double digits. Oh my God. Last one was double digits.
That was double digits. Yeah. But we weren't sure.
Guys, the sun is kind of on me right now as we're
Gabby's
recording.
Gabby's like a cat.
I have a problem. I'm like a full on like sun addict.
A ray of sunshine. And she's like laying there.
It's like the best plane in the world. Both of us were in the sun for how long? 4 hours yesterday?
I got there after you. So yeah, like four
and I got there before everyone.
Yeah. You're like, I'm here. And I was like, okay, I'll be there soon.
I basically just told everyone I'm not hanging out unless we all meet in the direct sunlight.
It was great. In your secret spot, which
it was pretty good, right? It got a little crowded towards a certain time.
Towards the end, but yeah. It was pretty chill at the beginning.
You can't find that anywhere else. No. And no one here listening is ever going to know where it is.
Never post it.
Yeah. It's a secret
never
sun
let
spot.
You know. We have to gatekeep some things.
I know. I agree. Especially this when I can get sun access. But yeah, we also had our cheese party. So I
went
down without a hitch.
Success.
Except for the room smelled pretty intense.
Well,
I didn't mind it, but
I honestly didn't realize it smelled like cheese because I think I was there for so long.
Danny was working
the corner.
Danny was working.
I was working my corner.
Danny brought. Wait, what did you do? You remember your pairings?
Yeah, I brought. Okay,
you're like, I memorized.
Let me see. I brought five international cheeses. I got cheddar, Shropshire, which is like an English blue cheese.
It's like orange blue cheese.
It's orange, yeah, but it's blue. But yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then I got Scamorza. Scamorza is what it's called?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Italian one.
I
always have like dyslexia with this. And I want to call it Scamorza, but I think it's Scamorza. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
What else did I bring? Oh, I found this cheese from Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, crazy.
Which I was
I felt honored.
When I saw it in the shop, I was like, and I was trying to ask the lady, I was like, what kind
did
of cheese?
Did you ever find out what kind of cheese it was?
No. I mean, I know it's cow's milk. But yeah. She goes, C'est American. And I was like, yeah, but like what kind? And she's like, C'est American. And I was like, okay, well, you don't want to talk about this cheese, it's fine. I'll take it anyway. But I know that it had like a coffee rind.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good. It was almost like a Parmesan. It was
well, Wisconsin,
strong.
I mean, everyone just thinks it's like shitty, like cheese hot cheddar, but like they have now. I know this because my dad is literally like a cheese researcher every time we go home. And he's always like, I ordered a new specialty cheese from a random whatever.
It was really good. Like, Paul actually really liked it because I was like, I'm really curious to see what he thinks.
Does Paul like strong cheeses or no?
Yeah, he mostly strong likes strong cheeses.
I've never dated anyone who likes cheese. Is that not sad?
Really?
My ex did, but he liked basic cheeses. The French ex. My other ex didn't like cheese. Only like Parmesan.
Interesting. Yeah. No, he really liked all of them. I mean, he was like, at first he was like, what is this? Like the cheddar one, because it had like brown wax around it. And people kept on coming up to me like, is that chocolate? And I was like, no, it's just the wax. And they're is it chocolate with cheese? And
was that one. It looked like a cake.
A cheddar.
It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm missing one. I can't think what it was. It'll come to me.
Yeah. It'll come up in the middle of the pod.
But
and then she had a pairing for each, but like a fully prepared. Like I was like, I have a bag of barbecue chips because it pairs with this. And I like threw it on the table and you had like literally a custom
pairings for
you
each.
Had little toothpicks to serve out, and then every time someone come up to you, you like make them a little spread and you would explain it over and over.
Spiel.
So Danny didn't leave the corner.
I didn't leave the corner, so I actually didn't participate in the party until like later. Until I was like, okay, I quit. That's fine.
Until we got on the piano towards the end of the night and started singing Michelle Branch or Vanessa Hudgens or whoever it is.
But no, it was so fun, honestly. Like I love the theme of this party because it's like you're discovering new cheeses, trying new foods, but also like hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
And cheese is such a like
and it was chill enough.
Chill.
Like it was just like you threw the cheese on the table except for you the
except
rest
me,
of us were having a good time.
I didn't leave that corner for 3 hours. No, but I think the cool thing about it is like you get to eat, you get to socialize, you get to like hang out, and if you want to leave by 10 p.m that's fine.
Yes.
But if you want to stay until 1, that's also fine. Like it's like I like those types of party.
I do too. It was like come and go for those who wanted, but like, and it was such a mix of fun people.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I invited a bunch of friends from like different walks of life, so everyone got to meet each other, which was really fun. Yeah,
it was really really fun. And trying all the cheeses, there's so many weird cool cheeses I'd never seen
so
before.
Many weird,
like
cool
Jess brought that.
Jess brought like 120 month aged camembert, which by the way looked exactly like you would imagine 120 month aged camembert.
And she googled, or she didn't google, sorry, it's 2025, she asked ChatGPT is it safe to eat, and he was like, or it was whatever the robot, it's not safe to eat. I wouldn't recommend it. And then she had a brioche like tamarind brown. That had wasabi.
It was that
was really good.
It was really good.
That was really good.
I tend to think they do those really poorly a lot of the times where the wasabi overrules, but this one was perfectly really unbalanced.
Yeah. I kept that taking people like from my corner, be like, you need to try this
that one.
I was like, if you want to leave the international corner.
And my classic Roquefort that I always
I had
bring.
A Gouda. That's the other one. Ooh. A truffle Gouda.
Gouda was what was supposed to go with barbecue chips.
How did you do that? What did I pair it with? For my veggie people, fig jam.
Oh, yeah. That was
and
good.
For my non-veggie people, I had bacon bits.
Oh, yeah, that was insane.
It was really good.
What was the one that like blew my mind that you served?
Oh, cheddar pineapple.
Oh,
that was
my
so good. Yeah.
God. It guys, was if so you haven't weird, tried so cheddar good. And pineapple together, like you're all my taste buds lit up.
When I so I was good. Like Googling like what goes that's well what goes well with cheddar. That's not like I think most people say apples, which yes, okay. I was like, I wanted something weird, and I saw pineapple, and I was like, I've never heard this before.
But I'm literally salivating just thinking about that feeling. It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was really fun.
So yeah, it was anyway. A success. I hope you guys, I know you're going to say no, but I'm like, I wish you could do these like every month.
I know. Well, I told you the next thing I want to do is
the bread party.
The bread party. I want everyone to get a baguette.
Co-sign.
Yeah. Okay.
We should do it. If you want to do it here, we could do it here.
I know. Every time I'm like, yeah, I'm down to do it, that I wait for someone else to be like, I'll host it at my apartment
because
my apartment's like a hobbit hole. Yeah. Okay. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
I wonder if people are down to run errands, but it is what it is. Cool. Well, today we are talking about social media. We're basically talking about, okay, so ultimately this conversation comes up from us in basically every episode we've done where we're like, oh, we're going to discuss that in another episode. Because like every time we talk about social media, we're like, oh, that's a bigger conversation. We need to address
it.
It's
a big conversation. Yeah.
It's big. And I also think that we're in a unique generation where we lived the first portion of our life without it.
Yep.
So we know so well what it feels like to have it. Like the difference between, I'm starting to lose what it felt like not having it, but I can still...
Yeah.
Remember, like, you know,
well, we didn't grow up. I think, like, our earlier years where we didn't, there wasn't social media per se. There was maybe, like, some form, like, messaging service or something like that. But we still had, like, dial up internet. You know, it's like you weren't online all the time.
No, you didn't have a phone with all the stuff on it all the time. Yeah.
Like, you were online, like, an hour a day if you were lucky. Yeah. You know, it was like a privilege.
Until my sisters kicked me off. That was usually until I had to call. Remember, you had to use a phone? You couldn't use a phone on the internet. Yeah.
My mom would give me like an hour or something. And then it was just like a thrill. It was like this flirt.
Do you remember that sound? Yeah. That was a door opening. Oh, when my oh my God. And when my crush would come online, I was like, like that.
It was exhilarating. Yeah, it was now it's like everyone's online 24/7. Everybody has access to it. So it kind of lost the magic a little bit. Lost on top of like a million other things, but. Yeah, it's interesting because we grew up without it. But then at one point, obviously, now it's like part of our lives.
And like for both of us, like a pretty significant part of our lives.
Yeah, like, our formative years, I guess.
Yeah.
But our childhood was...
The way that we both...
Yeah.
Like, compared to like, work my other friends. Like we work in the industry. Plus we both use Instagram pretty...
Yes. I think it's crazy sometimes when I meet people and they're like, oh, I don't have Instagram. And I'm like, wow.
Well, I get comments a lot, which is will come up throughout the podcast. But like it's brought up to me a lot by friends who don't use it. Guys I date who don't use it. And they're like very judgmental and confused.
When they find you online?
When they like, well, first of all, never Google me. Let me just warn everyone, about that. No, but it's more about like when they see my Instagram, I always just block everyone from my stories because I'm like, I can't.
That's how I felt when like coworkers would like find me on Instagram. Yeah. I'm like, oh God.
No,
or like when like my friend's parents at me, I'm like, oh no, what did I post?
I just realized my old boss,
oh no,
like 65-year-old man, follows me, and I'm like, you know what? Go off. Like I'm like, I'm like, that's okay. Like he was great, so it's fine. But yeah, we realized like we also wanted to do this because we realized like both of us have a different
relationship. It's like we have a very different approach to social, but. I think there's also a lot of overlap in some of our experiences that we both have had on social. Like, we both had gone viral. We, like, have had, like, the maybe unwanted attention that being online sometimes gives people. And it's
weird also the same benefits.
Like,
I think we
and
both,
the benefits,
like,
yes. I think there's, like, we have, like, a whole, like, pros and cons list because we realize when you Google, like, when I was, like, doing a little research for this, all the studies and all the things
I've converted
that
you.
Yes, I'm like, now I'm Gabby.
I've made you equally as annoying as
article,
me.
Right? But no, it's interesting because all the studies are like, I would say 90% are like negative, like social media is bad for you. But then of course
I was really looking for the ones where they were validating how much I use it. But
I So what I decided to do for this episode, and hopefully is like close it out, like, so we're going to talk about a lot of like the negative impact social media has on our lives, but how do we have a better relationship? Like, cause it's not going away. Like, you're not going to not be on social media. That's just not realistic for most people. So how do we change our approach, and how do we have a healthier relationship with social media? Mm-hmm. I think that's like the compromise. Cause ultimately there's no way you're just going to, you can do an Instagram detox all you want, but like, at least for me, it's like my job. I cannot be online.
Also, like you said, there's things that it's brought my life that like, I don't want to give those up entirely. It's hard to find a middle ground though.
It's community, it's connection. There's a lot of good things that comes out of it. But I think a lot of us at the end of the day always feel a little burnt out by it, or always feel a little icky, or we're like, I can't be on social anymore.
I've started to get like a car sick feeling. Do you get that?
Yes.
Like, I'm like literally car sick from looking at my phone. Like, it's so weird.
The other day that happened to me, I'm like, and I started Googling like,
do I have a brain tumor? That's what I would Google.
No. I was Googling something like, I think it was like screen time addiction, or like, it's like being on your phone, like, does that actually fuck with you? Which all the studies were like, yes, your brain is fried.
I don't think you got the answer you wanted to get out of that.
And I was like, okay, how can I be 8 hours on my phone but still be fine? You know?
My screen time. Oh my God.
I don't even look at it anymore.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to be better about it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
We'll talk about it. We'll get into it. But maybe let's talk about the good old days when we started. What was like your first, I would say, like social media moment, your first platform?
So I thought it was AIM, but was it MySpace? I don't know.
For me, I would say MySpace, but AIM, I think, also qualifies. I wouldn't say it's like a social media platform, but it is a communication tool. And like you said,
you had a profile. Remember your buddy profile?
Yeah.
Remember your away messages? Oh, well, one was Loader Lover for sure.
What?
Lord of the Rings.
Of course.
What was yours?
Mine was so random. I had just moved to the United States, and I guess like the Lil whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so my name was Lil Sweetie.
Oh my God, Danny.
I don't know. I'm like, I wasn't a sweetie, but I guess. Little sweetie 3026.
I like picture you typing in and be like, no, this is the most original thing anyone's ever.
I was like, you know who I'm gonna be a little sweetie, whatever that means.
Well, to be fair, most of AIM was flirting, which clearly I didn't pick up on with Loader Lover, but like, so
you're like, I love Lord of the Rings 1, 2, 3. All my friends have like unhinged names, like my best friend Maddie, her once was like XX the DA. The True Latina. XX.
There was a lot of X's. I remember that though, too. A lot of X's, a lot of numbers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the Lil's, duh, like all those crazy ones. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, I miss it so much. I actually do miss it. I miss logging on. I miss buddy profiles. Yeah. I miss, oh my God, if WhatsApp doesn't fucking figure out an away message ASAP.
Yes.
I loved away messages.
Yeah.
Loved them. You know, the other day I put a little, you know, Instagram has a little thing where you can put like mood you're in or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like the little smiley or whatever you do. So I put like a sad face. I had a bad day.
Oh, I saw. Yeah.
Sorry. I want to kill myself thinking about it.
Like, I had a bad day, so I had to put a sad emoji.
But I just like don't know why. Like,
don't. When you say it out loud.
I don't know why.
Wait, so.
I don't even put it with someone DMing. They're like, why? Why are you sad face? And I was like, oh my God. I just had such a flashback to our away messages.
I love it. Imagine explaining this to a pilgrim.
I can't believe I'm still doing this. I'm 34 years old. Like, imagine explaining it to who?
To a pilgrim.
Oh, I know.
So I was sad and I put an emoji.
I wish I could remember. Whoever DM'd me that, shout out, because you really gave me a mini existential crisis. Like, why sad face? I can't. Anyways, yeah.
I think MySpace. Yeah. I mean, I would think it was MySpace.
Did you have a song on your profile?
I had a song. I think I learned how to code to change like the background or something. Like, it was like crazy.
I saw something about that the other day. We were all like learning HTML.
We were like really into it. I had a song. You had a top 8 was like a very hot commodity. Like, if you got into a fight with a friend, which you did because you were in high school, so you were fighting with people all the time, it was like, well, we got into a fight, she's off
out
the
of my
top 8.
Oof.
And it's like, and people knew there was drama because like, oh my God, she took so and so from her top 8. So I remember my number one spot, because I didn't want like my friends to fight over who was my number one, was John Mayer.
Shut up. It's so funny.
So random. But he was like my number one.
I didn't know you were a Mayer girl.
I was, unfortunately.
What was your fave?
All of them, but I was like, I just thought he was so hot. And at that time, it wasn't, he wasn't like icky yet.
Oh, he wasn't a he yet.
No, yeah. Not yet. This is like right before. And he was just like very eloquent in the way he talked about love and like all sure. these interviews. You were just like, wow, yeah, that's what I want.
Simpson, and then he went crazy.
And yeah. then, yes. And then he became a douchebag. Or he was always a douchebag, but it became evident. So he was my number one.
Okay.
So my friends wouldn't fight yeah, over like right. the coveted order. Spot. But it was definitely like,
what
there
does
was
it
drama.
Say that I barely remember having a top eight? I clearly like, I think I said it and forget it.
I just remember it was like drama and like, when you would get into a fight with someone, you would check and yeah. you were off the top eight. That was like even more drama. It was just like really an interesting way to categorize your friendships or something. Or yeah. like to like, I hated the pressure that came with it. I can't even imagine having a top
horrible.
Eight right now.
It's horrible. But people, did you ever have the thing where like in your profiles, your buddy profile on AIM, which clearly had a bigger impact on me, people would like list out girls' names or have inside jokes with certain. So you want to hear one that was in my high school?
Yeah,
so
what was it?
There were five girls and they were the cool girls. Okay. If any of you guys are listening to this, there's probably no way these five girls are listening, but if they were, and they were like hot, cool girls that all the guys liked. And within like a couple of days, they all put five strings. Like okay. it, like their buddy profile said five strings.
Okay.
And no one could figure out what it meant. And guess what it meant? It's because like they went shopping and they all bought thongs together.
Oh, I was thinking something completely different. It's like tampon like, strings?
Oh my God. Yeah. That would have been cooler. But I still, to this day, remember, I'm like, God, if I were yeah, only was, part of five strings, everything would be different.
It was just so crazy how you were like analyzing everyone's yep. social media, like oh. I mean, we do it now, it's just it looks a little
but
different.
That to me was when it started, like the starting yeah. of like curating how I was perceived yes. online,
yeah,
learning how to text with people.
And then if you were going through a breakup, you would change your song to like a sad song.
You were much cooler than me. Unfortunately, I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 27 years old.
I can't remember.
Shocking with a name like Loader Lover.
I can't remember. I mean, I just remember like changing the song to reflect my mood,
yeah,
whatever
MySpace.
That would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was wild times.
Yeah, it was wild. But yeah, here we are. And I feel like, I don't know, like I guess to me, like MySpace did bring me good things too. Like weird, you know, one time Fred Armisen, he DM'd me back on MySpace.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? That's I was like such cool. an SNL obsessed little girl. But I literally was like, I'm obsessed with
you.
So
you know
like,
his
thanks.
Mom is Venezuelan?
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. Because I've heard him speak Spanish before.
And he had the character he does for Parks and Rec, where he's like a dictator, is inspired by.
Really?
Yes. I think he's from Venezuela.
I was listening to the Amy Poehler podcast this morning, and everyone was like, he's the funniest person I've ever met. Like, ever met.
I mean, Portlandia is my favorite show
oh.
in the world.
I feel like he's like a...
I know he, like, there's some problematic things about him.
Oh, I'm sure.
But...
I'm sure. And he also seems like kind of a dick, but...
I think... I'm like, look at me making excuses for a man. But I think he's just one of those people that's like kind of like...
Can you tell me his trouble?
Misunderstood.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, the only thing problematic I know about him is like whatever his ex-wife says. What's her name? Not she's like...
I'll always take her side,
Elizabeth
though.
Moss. The handmaid's... Yes.
What?
It's her. She's
what?
Yes.
I did not know they were married. That's wild.
She basically was like, he sucks and I hate him.
That's fair. Whatever.
Anyway, going back to
shout out Fred.
Yeah, love you.
Fred, if you're listening. But yeah, I thought, Fred, okay, so we, I think we both.
I don't be listening. We believe you.
Yeah, we believe. We thought, so I guess one of the things that, I don't know if you encounter this, but because I use social media quite a bit, mm-hmm. I get a lot of people, especially ex-boyfriends, especially family, who are like, trying to assert to me that it's 100% negative. Like I get a lot of not just judgment, but a lot of people who argue that it's all negative to me. Yeah.
How do you present yourself on social? Like how do you use social? Do you think you're someone who's like constantly updating, oversharing, talking about every experience?
You're gonna die when we
dive into
this.
Or do you keep it very like I'm mysterious.
Overshare.
Fancy hotel,
overshare.
But you don't know where I am.
God. I wish. I'm like, I'm every meme that's like, if I could just be a mysterious girl.
I love those memes.
No, I mean, well, we'll get into this, but like, so this morning I was not this morning. I've actually been curious at this for a long time about oversharing because I overshare. That's
well, yeah, like,
the answer.
You don't have to go into it, but just like a quick,
yeah.
What would you say
I
your
overshare on stories.
Approach to social is right now?
Right now, it's oversharing a lot.
Okay.
I think it's gotten better.
Okay.
It gets really bad during periods where I have like a breakup or like I'm mentally like destabilized. But I found out through the two number one things that make people overshare. Guess what?
What?
Neuroticism and anxious attachment. It was like,
Oh. Well, yeah, because this all came up when we're talking about the personality thing. We're like, does moving change your personality? That's what we were talking mm-hmm. about like two episodes ago. And so this came up when we're talking about how we approach social media. And you said, yes, I overshare. I post constantly. I talk about like how I'm feeling, blah, blah, blah.
And you don't?
I do. Okay. I think I used to more. Now I'm a little more reserved. And not because I necessarily want to or because I want to curate like who I am or how people perceive me. But for me, it was just more like I think I gave access to too many people mm-hmm. and it became very overwhelming at one point. And we'll go into this a little later. But like I've had a few experiences and you have as well where like when you go viral, when people find you or when, you know, it just becomes to me, it's more like I just can't deal with all this attention.
I'm sensitive. Like, so like, yeah. For me, I also can't deal with like your face is weird and your voice is annoying.
Like, I'm like, all right. Like, why don't you die? Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And so to me, I was just like, I think when I was younger, when I was in New York and I was working at BuzzFeed, because I was tied to a lot of like viral videos and things like that. And a lot of crazy people find you and think they know you. And they're like, well, say crazy shit to you. I think for a long time, also I was an influencer for a solid year. Like that's what I did for work for a year from 2018 to 2019.
Did you make actual money doing
that? Yeah, that's how I paid my bills for a full year. I didn't know that. Okay. And it was great because it gave me a glimpse into like, you know, being my own boss and like kind of being in a creative field. But a lot of people, well, at least I didn't realize this until I started doing it. It's like, it just is not as fun when it becomes your job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that was the moment where I was like, I don't want to share that much anymore. I did it for a year. It was a lot. And after that, I was just like, I'm just going to do whatever I want on social media. And obviously, I'm not an influencer anymore. Like
But you kind of are still.
But it's not my job. Right. And I don't have to post. I can go 5 days without posting and I don't care.
Yeah.
When you're an influencer, you're like constantly online because the moment you see one number drop mm-hmm. it like sends like panic mm-hmm. you know, you're just like I need engagement because that's how you get paid essentially mm-hmm. and when you like approach brands they're like, what's your engagement rate, how many followers do you
have? Talked about that. Maybe we start with the cons actually here because now that we're really into it. I feel
we did a pros and cons basically, like how do we approach social in a healthy and an unhealthy way
between each of us, because I think like each of us, and I actually think these get pretty nuanced, but because you have an experience with social media that I don't have, which is ever looking at metrics. I don't look at, all I look sometimes is see if an ex watches my story. Like, I'm not watching.
Relatable.
I'm not watching most forms of performance. I'll notice if I'm like lightly shadow banned. Yeah. Because like I'll post about TRU, whatever. And I'll get like my entire, like I'll get like 100 views for 3 weeks when I normally get like 1,000 if I post.
Yeah.
So I'll notice that. But you had an experience where you were like kind of obsessively checking performance, right? Yeah. Because it was tied to your income.
It was, it was my job for a year. And so like, I think it changes your perspective. And I think that's what happened to me ultimately. I was like, this is not for me, or like, this is not maybe what I want to do right now. And so now I'm more like a passive.
Which is cool. Poster. Do you feel like you have a healthier, like, do you feel like now you feel better, or is it still?
Yes, but it's still not like healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think a lot of us have a healthy relationship with social media. I still care about certain things that I shouldn't care. And I'm very much attached to my phone, which I wish I could be more offline sometimes. But yeah, I guess the way I put the boundary up is like, I'm not sharing everything now, whereas before I was sharing everything.
And this is what I have a hard time with, because I think I'm really drawn to sharing, and I think there's a lot of really great things for me about sharing. I think I hear from people where I don't hear in day-to-day life, but I think the downside is that I oftentimes will share before I like go to therapy, or before I do some writing myself, or before I take a breather. And it will kind of encourage it's enabling me to create this pattern of like sharing, getting immediate validation, getting people who kind of reflect my opinion back to me without me taking the time to process. And I don't think it's all bad. Like, I think some parts of it are actually great and cathartic, especially when I can't be surrounded by people with the same opinions, but it's not all good. And what's funny is that like, I know the difference in my body. Like
I was gonna say, I think if it makes you feel good,
exactly,
then I don't think oversharing is necessarily a bad thing. I think for me, like, I just wasn't feeling good about it.
No, and I get that fully. Which I've noticed if I give, I have like a rules now where I'm like, I want it to be a fully formed thought. I don't want it to just be like share to get it out of my system. So now, like, you'll notice I'll post a lot of like paragraph thoughts, and that usually for me is a healthy form if it's like a one erratic series of stories. So anyway, I think that, like, I don't think that was making me better. It's a coping mechanism,
right?
But I
it's
definitely
like a Band-Aid. It's on a Band-Aid. The bigger problem. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was definitely like a con. But you don't have that. So you were obsessed with numbers. Do you feel like you're like, how are your like dopamine levels?
Are you depressed? Yeah. No. Yeah, I agree. Like, there's certain things that I know that if I share like a specific thing, I'm gonna get like a big reaction. And obviously, that's like a shot of dopamine. You're like, oh my god, look at all this attention I'm getting.
I noticed that's like an adrenaline rush for me.
It's really weird when you see like the little message or like notification center like go crazy. You're just like, amazing. Everybody loves me. I'm amazing. But then immediately I get overwhelmed and I'm like, fuck, I have to answer all these people.
Oh, and then by the way, I don't answer. And then yeah, people get annoyed at me because I'm like,
no. And then like, yeah. So I think I will say the good thing about it is like, yes, you have instant like validation and connection with people, that especially when you're sharing something like vulnerable, you're like, this happened to me, this is my experience, and you have like 20 messages from people like, that happened to me too. It makes you feel good, and you're like, okay, great, I'm
not
alone.
But I don't think that, this is where I like could talk about this forever, because I don't think that's a bad instinct.
No,
I think one
of
the most beautiful
connection.
And one of the most wonderful things about being alive is like when you feel shameful or embarrassed or alone, and then someone else is like, babe, like I felt that way all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you're totally not alone. It's like, there's a very, I always wish there was a word for that feeling, but I think the one thing I have is catharsis.
Yeah.
And that to me, it's not bad, and it doesn't feel bad, and it makes me happy to be alive, and it makes me happy to connect with people. And that's something that I notice a lot of the times, because I am quite openly vulnerable, I think I get a lot of interesting connection that way. And that feels very, I get a lot of judgment sometimes about why I'm on social media and why I use it. And I'm like, I don't think that part's wrong. If I know how to share healthfully, I know how to share reflectively, and then I have connections. Yeah. Now,
that's what I'm saying. If it makes you feel good, then I don't think there's anything negative about it. I mean, other than the fact that some people are going to look and judge and be like, why is she sharing all of this?
Well, so this
but
is what another
doesn't bother you, then who cares?
How do you feel about that? Because this is a big con for me. It's the perception of how I use social media.
I don't really, I used to care. Now I don't care. Yeah. Like when I first started dating Paul, I was like, oh my God, I'm an influencer. They're probably going to think I'm like an idiot or something. Not because I think influencers are idiots, but they have this, there's
this
perception.
Oh, I have this with my ex all the time. Yeah. I was like, all your friends think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
and chilly. I think at the beginning I was a little insecure about it, and I was trying, like when we would come to France, I would like, okay, I'm not going to take that many pictures because you don't want to look like that, you know, like cliche, you know,
American
Emily
girl
in Paris
hovering over the table.
Literally. Yeah. But I realized, when that started happening, I was like, okay, well, I don't want to overshare. Like, I think you need to read the room, right? I think you need to figure out like what spaces you feel comfortable sharing and what spaces you don't.
Good point.
And then I think there was like a time and place for everything. And I think, and I will say, as someone who is friends with a lot of influencers, when you go out to brunch with your friends who are not influencers, don't expect them to pose for you or to be like your prop. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I mean with like read the room. Like if your friend is not comfortable online, don't fucking put a camera on her face. Like I went to dinner with like two girls that I know from like my past life in New York, and we hadn't seen each other for like 3 years. Went to brunch. This girl posted up her fucking phone on her tripod and kept on telling me like, this is just for B-roll. Pretend like we're laughing. And the entire brunch, that phone recorded us. And I kept on looking at it. She's like, stop looking at it.
Like, don't rope someone in who doesn't want to be part of
it. Yeah. Like, if you really want to have a content day, then, like, invite your friend who doesn't mind being or taking content, you know, with you. But, yeah, I was very insecure about it. Now I don't care because now I truly post whatever I want. And if you don't like it, whatever. It's also,
nice.
Like, I think it comes with getting older.
Yeah.
It comes with getting older, and it comes with being, like, this is who I am. And I think also like that's why I've curated a lot of what I put out there, and not because I was embarrassed of what I was posting before. But again, I think I just opened myself up to too many people that didn't know me. And like, this is your experience now too, because people think they know you online. Mm-hmm. They're all of a sudden giving you unsolicited advice about stuff they don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's kind of where I hit a wall where I was like, and people are mean. And maybe
people
they don't
can,
mean
people
to
can
be, mean,
be mean,
but they can be mean.
TikTok to me, they were really, I mean, we'll talk about this, but TikTok to me, they were really, really, really mean. Instagram, I tend to have a pretty positive experience. And I don't know why I've gotten lucky. I mean, to be honest, I went viral a year ago, and then I lost like 1500 followers, like within like a couple of weeks. And I'm like, yeah, cause I think everyone who didn't want to follow me just very quickly was like, she's not Emily in Paris, you know? And then
I think the way I always explain this to my clients is like, TikTok is content first and Instagram is community first. Mm. Meaning like, Instagram is all about your followers and the people who see your content. I've normally never
heard it put like that. That's like such a simple way. That's
yeah. Cool. Like when you are an influencer or even a brand on Instagram, it's all about like the community you build there, because mm-hmm. those are the people seeing your content constantly, the people who follow you. Now we have like the discovery page and all that stuff, but that's not like super successful. The algorithm is kind of weird. Anyway,
yeah, TikTok, you're right. TikTok. You know, I've heard people say TikTok is not social media. Have you
heard
that take? Yeah,
they call that entertainment. Yeah. So what I've done a few, because I work in social, so I've done a few workshops at the TikTok office here in Paris, and they compare, like their competitor isn't Instagram, it's Netflix. Mm. It's like an entertainment.
Because I will choose, I'll be like, do I want to turn on Netflix or do I want to scroll in bed?
Yeah, because...
Whereas like, I won't think of...
Well, that's exactly what they want. Yeah. When I went to this workshop and they positioned it this way, I was like, that's so smart. Because it's like, you can be in a meeting, you can be on Zoom in a meeting, camera on, scrolling on your Instagram, no problem. Nobody mm-hmm. would know. But you can't open TikTok in the middle of a Zoom call because sounds on, full screen. You know, like you can't just pretend, you know, it's not as mindless. The doom scrolling is not as mindless as it is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Instagram, you know, two screens at a time. Yep. You can watch TV, be on your phone. When you're on TikTok, you're locked in.
Yeah, that's true. That's so interesting. How do you feel about, like, you mentioned that you curate your feed. My biggest con is this split person. I have two, like, split personality feels like the biggest. And what that leads to for me is a lot of like looking at myself from the outside. So like, I'll be like, is this a Gabby Pedriani thing to do? Like, I'll do something and then I'll be like, would Gabby do that? And then I'm noticing that is like the enemy of all joy in life, because like, I don't want to go dancing at a bar and be like, would Gabby Pedriani dance at a bar? I'm like, I just want to live in my body and be myself. Yeah. But social media has really fucked that for me.
Yeah.
A lot. And TikTok, I made mine private. I don't use it anymore. I use it to look. I don't post anymore because I just was like, every time I see a video of myself, I was like, is that me? Like, is that how I just like, I can't explain it, but I just was like, my brain was split into too many pieces. And I'm still struggle with that sometimes.
When you mean split personality, you mean like you look at it from like, what would people think if I post this?
Kind of like, I can't get over the fact that I kind of am a brand and I have to create the brand of myself. Yeah. Even if I'm not selling myself, like I don't use my Instagram for anything to make money, but I still want it to be quote unquote me. Consistent, but that's not possible. Or, yeah. And then I'll do something in day-to-day life and I'll be like, that wasn't very Instagram Gabby. I'm not even kidding. Is that crazy? Do you not?
I don't know. I think we all do that to some extent. Like, again, and what I mean, like, it's more authentic now. It's so very fake. Like, we're all very...
Well, it's two dimensional. I mean, it's not... You know what I mean? Like, it's... Nothing can be as robust and complex as we all are. And so then it's just, like, inherently, no one platform is going to show all 3D sides of your personality. Like, even TikTok, so many of these influencers, like, seem so vibrant and wonderful. And then you meet them in real life and... They can't have a conversation. Like, you can hide a lot.
Yeah. Because like you said, you create a persona or like you create a brand, or like you said, would Gabby post this? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really match my vibe and you don't post it. But I think social media has like a interesting way of humbling us, because again, everything is tied to numbers. And whether you care about the numbers or not, you do care, because that's the way we're wired.
Yeah.
And we attach our value to like the amount of followers or likes we get. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you post something random that you wouldn't normally post, it's going to go two ways. Either it's not going to perform well because people don't expect this from you, mm-hmm. or it's going to go viral because something crazy happened, right?
Yep.
And so, yeah, everyone does this, I think, subconsciously, or whether people admit it or not. When you're going to post a carousel, you're going to look at those 10 or 20 pictures so carefully, and you're going to be like, does this tell the story I wanted to tell? Is it like, does it look like I'm
but
having
like
a good
annoyingly
time here?
Like, I wish it, like, if it was like a storyboard for something, or if it was, I don't know, if it was a different form of media, I think I'd feel less like terrible about it, but it's for me. So then I'm like, my story can't be told in 10. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing a storyboard for like a TV show or you're doing something like that, you wouldn't assign such negative connotation to that. But when I create the dump of photos, I'm literally like trying to sum up my entire, I'm like, so something about me is that like, I'm not a really high maintenance girl. So like, I'm going to post something that's like a little bit low maintenance, which is like me and a quirky shot of the sun with like one shoe in it. And then, but part of me also is a curated girl. So I'm going to post a photo that shows like I chose my outfit.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me loves food, but the other part of me loves trash food. So I'm going to post one elevated food and then I'm going to post one trash food.
Yeah.
And I also have friends. So I want people to know that. So then one photo is going to be, I'm no, like, this crazy. Is like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, but if you think about the concept of Instagram, it's fucking crazy. You're like, let me post these videos and pictures to, I don't know, create a story about who I want people to think I am.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, if you really break it down, it's crazy that we're like, I'm going to eat a croissant, but before I bite it, I have to take a picture so people know that I live in Paris and I have croissants every morning. It's like an insane thing. But that's just the way our brains, especially in the past, I would say 10 years, our brains are wired. And this is like, could be a pro or a con. And I'm curious to hear your take on this. I hear people being like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to travel to this place for the Instagram picture. I don't want to do this thing because of, which I think it's the case. A lot of people do things because it's Instagrammable, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're often disappointed when they get to the place because it's maybe not what it's.
God, I have stories about that. Yeah.
But if you want to look at it from the positive side, I also find I do more things now because maybe I want to post about them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to be like, oh, I want to go to this art exhibit because it looks really cool. And maybe
this is
like
such an interesting point of view. Yeah.
Either way, like if you look at it negatively, you're like, well, you're only doing this to post about it. But if you look at it positively, you're like, are we doing more? Are we traveling more? Are we sharing more because of Instagram?
Yeah. I noticed this from you with traveling alone. Like traveling alone sometimes is, I don't know, I have mixed feelings. Like I used to only travel alone and then I started dating guys and then I would travel with guys and then occasionally I go on friends trip. And it's something like if it happens, it's like, you know, the tree falls in a forest and anyone hear it. Sometimes like traveling alone, I don't feel like I get the commendation for like how hard and scary and things can be. And I noticed really early that when I started, part of the reason I started using stories is because I like went to New Zealand by myself and then I went to Portugal by myself. And I loved having that experience of like posting, sharing, engaging. And then I get to like recap it on my feed and be like, I did this thing. And I think that there's some, it's like a mix of what you're saying. Like it validated my experience, made me feel not so alone, and also made it like worthwhile that it didn't happen in a silo. So I noticed it kind of does motivate me. You're right. Specifically for some travel experiences.
Yeah.
For you, is it food mostly or like eating out?
I think it's a mix. It's like a mix of like, well, now I have a Substack. So
you're
I'm
a
like.
Substack or a fish.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, like. I need to go try this place for this. Like, so I'm obviously have to do
that's
it
fun
for
though,
that.
Well, I mean, guess what? Journalism is kind of that.
No, but totally. Like, but so also line, I love looking back at things. Like the other day I was posting on my stories about like working at BuzzFeed because I saw a meme. Apparently Gen Z is obsessed with like
BuzzFeed.
The idea of working at BuzzFeed in 2014.
I mean,
which
it's
was
glory,
like,
glory days.
Yeah. So I was like, that was
we all
life.
Had jobs.
So
we weren't getting fired every 3 seconds. Yeah. We could afford apartments.
No. And I went down like this rabbit hole looking for like old pictures of myself and any content I have of myself when I worked at BuzzFeed. And I posted like 2 or 3 things. And I was like, this is so funny. Like,
I
this was
it.
My
I
life.
It, yeah.
And I got a person message me like, did you actually work there? No.
I did it for the gram.
AI. Like, what? But
that's so funny.
I mean, that comment aside, I was like, it was such a nice like walk down memory lane. But I think where it gets a little tricky and weird is like, you are posting this content for other people. And like, it's like, we just have to learn how to separate like, I just want to do this for myself and because it brings me joy and I don't care if it gets 20 likes or 200 likes.
Have you
and
ever started a private?
The what?
Have you ever started a private Instagram like for that? As what an experiment? Mean? Like my cheesecake Instagram, I started, but like.
I know, I can't tag you. I try to tag you on something.
I love it because I just go crazy in the captions are like my most unregulated, poorly written stream of consciousness thoughts. And it's so fun to post like exactly what I would post.
That
if I were talking just to myself,
I would love to see like in a different world, I would love to see where social media, like everyone's feral and everyone's just like posting their deepest, darkest secrets. And like,
I like to think
unhinged.
I'm leading by example there. Well, how do you feel about like, I think the other pro kind of to this point, and I think the reason I have had it be such a pro is building relationships from it.
Yeah.
And I think like I've been able to make really, I mean, I met you, I met like a lot of friends, but I met them to be like really good friends and quite quickly in a way where I can tell we align on values very quickly. It's weeded out a lot of people who I think would be put off by my vulnerability or be put off by my personality, because I actually think I'm more unhinged on social media sometimes than I am in real life.
It's like a, I always say it's like a display window of like, well, when I work with brands, it's a display window of the brand. But in this case, it's like a display window of like who you are.
Yeah. But how like, have you felt like, because I guess if you don't share as much personal, how do you feel about the relationships you've built from it?
I mean, it's funny because it's like I've had waves of followers, right? And I feel like I still have like a few followers. Well, I don't know how many, but some that have been there since day one and they know my entire life because they've been following me for like 10 years. And then I have people that just started following me when I went viral when I moved to Paris, and they know my Paris life, but maybe they don't know my New York life. So, sorry, what was the question?
I just forget. No, like how are the relationships you've like built from it? Like the people that you like encounter first on Instagram and then you meet in real life. Like has that changed? Has the tenor of that, is that the right word, of the kind of people you've met changed since, like, you overshared since you
it definitely changed. I lost a lot of followers too,
really,
for many reasons. Well, first because I stopped influencing
posting as much.
I stopped influencing like out of nowhere.
But what is when you say like I stopped influencing, it's like you stopped posting on,
like,
so often,
I literally
right?
was posting every day.
Okay
It's like, this is the mascara I'm wearing, and this is an it's like links to every outfit and links to like all this shit. Yeah, I was like always, I was in 3,000 events every day. So it's like you are like always, this is your job, right? So like you're always feeding the content beast, essentially. So the way, so I've lost followers for the reason that's like, well, you're not really an influencer, so maybe like what you're posting doesn't suit me anymore, which is totally fair. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people unfollowed me because of that. Then I think a lot of people started following me because they thought I was gonna be like Emily in Paris. And when they were like, she's not Emily in Paris, they unfollowed me.
Yeah,
and then the last wave was during the election. I was very outspoken, obviously. Yep. And I lost like 200 followers.
Oh, I lost like 1,000.
And it was like, I mean, I'm not surprised I'm from Miami.
So then like, the people
that stayed are like the real ones. Again, like there's people that know, like have never met me, but know who Paul is, know inside jokes about him, like know like little things, which is really funny because it's like I've never met this person, but like we That's can cool. have a conversation about these silly things. And then like you said, on a deeper level, it's brought me a lot of new friendships and connected me to a lot of people, like minded individuals, like you mentioned. All my friends in Paris, well, not all, but I would say like 80% of my friends in Paris are through social media, have been through social media. So for me, it's obviously very important because I think it's also a way not only that you meet people, but you stay in touch with people. And a lot of people that maybe you don't hang out with every day, you're still in communication with them, and you know what they're up to.
That's one of my biggest pros. And I think it's so interesting because I think a lot of people say this about social media, like it helps stay in touch. And then I think a lot of counterpoints are like, well, you stay in touch in a shallow way. I don't feel that way because I think there's a couple of different ways to stay in touch. And I certainly have friends that I stay in touch with because they check in on WhatsApp and then we decide to have a catch-up call and we have a catch-up call. But I don't think someone's seen my day-to-day thoughts and my day-to-day actions as a way for us to stay lightly connected until we have the moment to catch up is shallow. Like it actually feels really nice, especially if they've met me once. And I find it to be a really natural way. I'm really bad at reaching out and initiating connection. So I find Instagram to be a low stakes, natural way. And I've noticed I've been able to keep, like I lost a lot of college friends and stage of friends because I am really bad at initiating friendship. And like, I'm just bad at it. I don't know why. And I need to work harder at it. But Instagram's allowed me to hold on to more people. And I love that. And I feel like I'm less alone in the world because of it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, I don't find it superficial. I think a lot of my friends live abroad and like, yeah, we have group chats and stuff like that. But like, sometimes, you know, we're in different time zones. I wake up and have 78 messages and I was like, I can't deal with this right
also,
now. But then I'll see
a
meme.
Group chat, like every meal you had during the day. But right. Sometimes like I kind of want to see the meals my friends ate. I just don't need to like have it in my.
Yeah. But then I'm like, oh, I saw a meme that made me think of you. So I'm just going to send it to you. So it's like we're still talking. Maybe we're not having the deepest conversations on Instagram. But one interesting, a different perspective of this, though, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't you find that weird when you're meeting someone for the first time, but you've been Instagram friends for a while?
Yeah. You know what's funny though? I like it, but you don't like it.
No, I don't know. I don't
think. Well, it
depends
who it is.
I'm kind of neutral about it. Okay. It's just a weird situation that you show up to like dinner, for example. Like when I met you, we had been Instagram friends. So I knew a lot about you already. And so it's like you show up to this, you know, dinner, coffee, whatever you have with this person, and you already know that this person went to Greece and that they work in blah, 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 and they broke up with their boyfriend. And so it's like, it's a weird, I don't necessarily think it's negative or positive, but it's kind of like it's a weird thing.
For sure.
That you're just like, you're going to tell me all these things about yourself, but I already know them.
I prefer to address it like fully head on. My favorite is when people will, I don't know if this happens to you too, like people will be like, are you, like they happened the other day, I think I told you at a coffee shop. It's happened like on the street a couple of times. Or it's also happened at parties where someone will be like, hey, I follow you already. I love that because I'm kind of like, okay, then I don't have to tell you anything. I'm kind of mentally ill. I'm an overshare. I just went through a breakup and you know all of it. And I love being able to start. I'm like not a small talk girl. So okay. I love being able to start off on the foot.
They already know everything.
They already know
you.
It. Let's just dig in. It's more fun for me. So that's, but
it makes you feel more connected.
For that to work, to your point, you have to basically be like, hey, I follow you already. I already know all this stuff. And like, great. Okay. We're just going to skip like 100 steps then.
Yeah, that's happened to me a few times in Paris where like I've followed people and specifically people that aren't like, they're more like maybe food influencers. So they don't post themselves as much. And I'll be at an event and I was like, do I know her or do I just follow her on Instagram?
Though, sometimes like,
yeah, because then I'm like, the other day I went to an event and I saw this lady and I was like, I feel like I know her, but I'm like, I know I've never met this lady. And then I got home later that night and I realized I follow her on Instagram. But you know, I just think it's, I don't necessarily think it's positive or negative. I think it's funny when you go and you have like coffee with someone that you've never met. And so, cause it's happened to me where like I followed people and then I'm like, she's kind of annoying. And then I meet her in real life and I'm like, amazing, love her.
Yep.
Like people are very different in
real
life.
I get that all the time.
Really?
Oh, I get that all the time.
I've been told you actually.
I've been told to my face probably no less than a dozen times, you're way less annoying in person than on social media. Isn't that funny? I've accepted it at this point, but.
When I followed you on Instagram, I liked it. I was like, she's cool. But there was another person, which I won't say I'm like, that I followed. And I was like, I don't know if we're going to vibe. And then we vibed. So
it's a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you ever gone viral?
Yeah, like, so let's talk about it. Okay. Yeah, I actually have like two stories about it and then you'll tell me yours.
Both are wildly positive.
They're so different too. But I went viral in 2015. I had just started working at BuzzFeed or I was there for a couple months and I don't even remember what happened, but whatever. I think Marco Rubio had said something about abortion and I just replied to his tweet and I was verified at the time because I worked at BuzzFeed and I said something like no uterus, no opinion and went viral in the sunset. All
so
the
crazy. It's like such a basic. It's like such a basic.
It's like nothing
crazy. I think if you said that now, that's like the least controversial thing you could possibly
for
say
sure.
in the entire world. Yeah.
This is 25. I mean, I still think people will like hate you for saying it,
it's
but it wouldn't
be mad,
be
but it's not like going to like blow people's brains. Yeah.
Yeah. And also like I've always hated Marco Rubio, like not to flex, but I've always thought he was trash since 2015.
It is
clearly.
A flex. I'm not going to lie.
And he didn't respond obviously, but all the pro-lifers or whatever you want to call them
creepy
came after me not only like on my Twitter but they went after me on email, messaged my editor and were like, you need to fire her.
God,
also she should
the
kill
time
herself
in your day. Oh my god.
And it was so crazy. It was like it all happened so fast. Like I was just like I was like, first of all, I was like, am I in trouble and am I gonna get fired over
right,
this?
Yeah,
thankfully my editor was great. And
you
she
can't
like
not have
aside.
Been their first rodeo at BuzzFeed.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. I didn't know this at the time, but because I was more like on the lifestyle side.
Yeah.
So like you don't really get in trouble for
BuzzFeed
anything.
BuzzFeed News for a while was really, I mean, well known and like as hard hitting reporters. So they were probably.
Well, that's what happened. So the editor of BuzzFeed News, who was the editor in chief at the time? I can't remember. But he was very nice and he pulled me aside and he told my editor, like, you need to hire to be offline for at least 2 days. And that's the first thing. So it's like the golden rule of BuzzFeed. You never read the comments, like no matter what. And so she pulled me aside and she said, hey, girly, log off your Twitter, log off your email. Just be offline for two days, basically.
You took 2 days off work?
I know I was still working, but I just wasn't allowed
online.
To check like my social media or my email. And then I had like Slack and stuff, but I couldn't be. And then a reporter from BuzzFeed News, I can't remember her name, but she was lovely. She wrote a lot about gun control. So she was very familiar with this.
Can you imagine?
So she was like, let me take you out to lunch. Aww. And she was very nice. And she was like telling me like, it's okay. I know it's scary, but like just be off for a couple of days. And then like when you come back on, delete everything. Like it was just like, yeah, like you said, it wasn't their first rodeo,
yeah.
But it was just so interesting to be like, Oh my God, the girl on the beauty side tweeted something crazy. Like, and the gun control girl was like, yeah, it wasn't lifestyle. It was like beauty, lifestyle, whatever. But it was so funny how like one of the reporters who normally covers like school shootings and gun control issues was like, girl, trust me, I get this every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was like my first. It was very shocking because of how fast it happened, but also like the amount of messages. I just saw my inbox go from like 0 to like 100 and all the messages were like, kill yourself. I hope you die. I hope you are happy killing babies. Like crazy shit that you're just like, what the fuck? All because of Marco Rubio. Anyway.
And second time was.
Viral. Yeah. Was going viral on Twitter. Twitter, not TikTok. I was on TikTok in 2020 to 2022, I would say. I went viral when I moved to France.
I love it was like the first video. It was like the first video I ever posted.
No. I had posted like silly things, but I had like 20 followers. Yeah. And then I posted this video of like moving to France because I was bored. It was confinement here. And it was really, it had like 2 million views. And it also went viral. It's actually slower. It went viral across like 3 weeks. And you could tell it was going viral in different countries because of the comments I would get, like in different languages and stuff like that.
Interesting, yeah.
And I would say it was like 50-50, 50% positive, 50% negative. And the positive was like, oh my God, I love your life. That's my dream. And the negative was like, you're just a rich bitch. Fuck you. And I'm like, sir, I'm unemployed. I live with my in-laws.
Yeah. You know?
So.
God, people are so mean about anything with Paris, America.
I wasn't even in Paris. Yeah. I was just in the south of France. America, but I was, and I was living with my in-laws. It was confinement. It was like the height of COVID here. And people were just, because my in-laws lived in this beautiful house, like in the middle of a forest, but they live in like a small town in the middle of nowhere. And they do have a beautiful house, but it's not like necessarily a mansion.
No, people don't understand. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but understand that like French property and how people have property here. And like, yeah, they think you're a billionaire, but like French also just own more property because they can. Yeah. So, you know.
And in the video, like you see the backyard, and their backyard is beautiful because like I said, they live in
a beautiful
forest.
Home and they have a pool, right?
And they have a pool. Yeah. And so people are like, just from seeing the backyard and the forest vibes, they were like, you're a rich bitch and you don't deserve that.
But what the assumption I noticed a lot through TikTok was like, you have family money. Yeah. And that's what annoys me too, where I'm like, well, I don't have family money. So any money like, I do have.
I'm unemployed.
Like, you're rich with family money. And it would drive me crazy. And I always tried to figure out why it drove me so crazy. And it was because, like, you don't think I worked for this? Like, I had 3 jobs in New York for 4 years. Now, granted, did I have help from my parents through college? Yes. They weren't. But were they paying for my apartment in New York? Did they pay for my move to Paris? No. So I think it bothered me because I was like, this is actually a lot of work. And it took me a lot of work. But then I had to realize, like, why am I fighting this battle? Like, these people
don't care.
But that's
the thing. I'm like, I'm not going to post the entire... I mean, it was a, I don't know, 60-second video. You're not going to see the entire story. You're going to see what I want you to see. And so... But it was just, like, really interesting to see that reaction. So that went super, super viral. That's how, like, every American in Paris found me, befriended me on Instagram. And that's how, like, I made most of my friends, thanks to that video.
Yeah, it's like a perfect example of the pros and cons.
I even got a book agent who reached out to me because of that video. She's like, hey, are you thinking about writing a book? And I'm like, what?
You should do that.
Yeah, but I just remember thinking as well, because it's caught me off guard, because I know writers who like work their entire lives to get a book agent. And from one viral video, it's like, do you want to write a book? And I remember I was like, maybe one day.
Like, about my TikTok? About my 60-second TikTok? Sure.
I was like, maybe one day I'll keep your email. But I was like, that's wild. Like, the doors it opens is crazy. Yeah. But then the second time I went viral.
Sorry, addictive too.
It's also like crazy. You're like obsessed with it.
I know.
The second time I went viral was because I was making fun of the vaccine rollout, the COVID vaccine rollout in France, which was very slow. And it was just like a joke.
Yeah.
It was like,
tell that to a French person.
Well, that's what happened. It was a joke. And again, it was 50-50. Half the comments were like, cries in Romanian, because Romania was going to be even later than France. You know, like, people were just like kind of saying like, girl, like, my country's not getting it for another 2 years. So like, people were just like joking, like, same here, we're not getting anything for another month, whatever. And then the negative was the French. That's when the French mob found me.
For me, they were the worst.
And they were like, go back to your country. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. You suck. We hate you. Nobody wants you here. Mm-hmm. But how about you? So tell me about your viral
story. Oh, I don't need to get fully into it. But I went viral a couple of times, and I literally got my TikTok shut down.
Why?
Got banned. I think this ties back to like what I want to work on, which is I was complaining a lot when I moved here. And I cannot remember the videos I went viral for. There were a couple. I don't know if you can. Do you remember?
I remember one of them was like,
oh, sitting on the metro.
Yes.
I made that in 10 seconds. But that was like,
you were in New York. It was like I moved to New York.
And now I'm happy. It was so stupid.
And it was like you falling asleep in the subway.
I had a weird video on my phone of me like, yeah, falling asleep on the subway in New York. And then it was like me dancing in my apartment in Paris.
Yeah.
This was one of those things. Like I just couldn't handle the comment section. The comments. And it was kind of, what's like, game where you keep hitting the groundhogs down with like a mallet.
What, whack-a-mole?
Yeah, whack-a-mole. Yeah. And I kept felt like the comments were like that. Like I'm like, if I address this one perfectly, everyone will see it and it will be politically correct and there will be no way to argue back.
They would know who I am.
And exactly. And I would respond to a comment so thoughtfully and then it would go be interpreted totally wrong. Then it just felt like I couldn't control it. And I'm such a sensitive person despite everything I've tried. So I was so hurt by so many of the comments.
That's the thing. Yeah. I know BuzzFeed's rule is always never read the comments, but it's so hard when it's like your.
Oh man. And there were so many. Life. And they also, people on TikTok had an issue with everything. Yes. It was just something. No matter what, if it went viral, there were mean comments. And it was sometimes videos that I thought were so wildly innocuous. And I still would just get these massively mean comments. So I say, so if you're going to walk away from this convo and think through what are like, if you think have to think through two or three ways you're going to cope with the stuff that bothers you about how you use social media, what would it be? Do you know?
Yeah, well, actually, so I'll tell you mine, but I'm quickly going to go through. I actually looked this up because I was like, how can we have a healthier habits around social media? So
did you ask that to ChatGPT?
I didn't.
We're like our own worst enemies.
No. I looked up like what different studies, psychologists, and like different articles that I came across. And basically, they're all like pretty similar. They all overlap. But basically, it's like, well, this is something that we talked about before. But muting people that trigger you in any way.
My favorite.
Setting screen time limits or setting time limits in general. So basically, like monitoring the amount of time that you spend on social media can also prevent overusing it. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about this offline, how sometimes you start doom scrolling and it's been 3 hours and you're like, oh fuck, I spent 3 hours looking at bullshit.
I have my stupid little alerts and then I just power through them every single time.
Well, this is according to the psychologist. And then also establish tech-free zones, which I actually never heard this.
That's a cool
this
idea.
This is a cool idea.
The podcast I listen to is called Offline. It's like John Favreau and some other guy who's a colleague. They have been doing techniques to work on their focus.
Nice.
And one of them is this. And so they say no phones in the bedroom.
Yeah. So here it's like maybe no phones like during mealtime. So if you're having dinner, you don't have your phone on the table with you or before bedtime. Or yeah, like basically... I don't know if you're going to go see a friend. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm not going to, or like, I'm not shutting it off, but do not disturb, put it in your purse. Don't look at it for the 3 hours you're with your friend. So whatever tech-free zones you can establish, that also is helpful. Also reflect on your usage, which I think is a hard one for
this is
us.
This counts. This podcast counts. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
Because apparently like when you assess how social media affects your emotions and behaviors, you'll notice what gives you increased anxiety or what gives you more dopamine or what's making you happy. And then maybe by analyzing that, you can kind of pinpoint like the moments that you should be.
You know, I had a really weird moment one time where I came back from a trip and from the US, and normally I like would fall asleep. Like I hadn't slept in like 24 hours and I was waiting for a client call and she wasn't calling me, but I couldn't fall asleep. I was like ready to just be done. It was like 7 p.m. I'd been awake now almost 36 hours. And guess what I used just to keep myself awake?
Social media.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments where I think I'd been telling myself this lie, like, oh, I'm just going to scroll for a few minutes before bed. It'll help me fall asleep. I'm like, I was literally using it as a full on stimulant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let
so that
take
was
my drug.
Yeah, so that was reflecting on that was reflecting on my usage.
Also, it says that you should curate your feed. So basically, follow accounts that inspire.
Do you ever do unfollow days? I do like days where I just unfollow anyone who annoys me, and it's amazing.
I have a weird thing with the unfollow button. I just feel like it's so extreme. So I'm muting like left and right. I'll unfollow people that I'm like, I'm never gonna see this person again, but I just feel like unfollowing someone is so final
for me. It's definitely people I'll never see again.
Exactly.
Yeah,
But basically, yeah, it says if someone is making you feel, or if there's like a specific like celebrity or like a brand or whatever, and they're posting something that's triggering you in some way, unfollow them.
I think the key here that we have to remind ourselves is this doesn't mean that person is doing anything wrong.
No.
This doesn't mean you don't like that person.
No.
This doesn't mean that they have malicious intentions. This is only because what they are doing triggers you. This could be because someone who very much wants to lose weight and could be healthy for their body is losing weight. But for you, who doesn't need to lose weight and has issues with eating, doesn't want to follow.
You don't want to see that.
This could be, in my case, where like you have a group of friends and you don't love to see your friends hanging out without you. And you're like, you know what? This is making me feel like I'm shit. I'm going to mute them.
Yeah.
Like no one in those circumstances is doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And I think it's just acknowledging like what is making me worse? What is making me spiral?
You don't need to see that. Yeah.
You don't need to see it. And this is where I wish you would understand a little bit better. This is like this unfollow thing. I think I get why things are taken personally. I get it. But it's also, you don't know anyone's experience. Like this could be as simple as you post a photo with your mom on Mother's Day and someone's lost their mom don't want to see it. It's like, you're not necessarily doing anything. Everyone's allowed to protect their peace the way they need.
I mean, so, it's like literally what they recommend you do.
I know. I just have a lot of friends and I run into this. This is a little different, but with blocking, and I have a lot of friends who are like, well, I don't want to block. That's so aggressive. And I'm like, are they psychologically torturing you via text? You're allowed to block someone. Like, it's not mean to protect yourself, you know?
No. Yeah. And then I think the other one is disable notifications. Yeah. Do you have your notifications?
Do you know why I muted WhatsApp completely?
Wow.
I don't get any notifications on WhatsApp. So when I don't respond for hours,
I don't have any notifications on any of my social media.
Oh, no, I never would have it on social media.
I know a lot of people who do.
Really?
Like,
that's an insane thing to me.
Psychotic.
Insane.
But yeah, so those are like the main tips.
Okay.
That psychologists.
What are you doing? I feel like I already shared mine throughout.
So mine is, I'm trying not to be on my phone first thing when I wake up in the morning. Yeah, so I'm trying to be off my phone for the first hour.
Oh my God, what do you do for an hour?
Honestly, you can get a lot done. So I wake up, brush my teeth, like go to the bathroom, like do the whole thing. And then I normally will make my coffee, make breakfast, like just like.
So that gets you to about 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll put like a podcast on if I like want to listen to something and not look at my phone, but listen to something.
All screens. So you can't go on your laptop.
No. What I do is like I do my breakfast. I make my breakfast. I make coffee. I have it. Sit down, listen to my podcast, whatever. And then the second half of that, I'll be on my email or like I'll start checking.
So this is what I struggle admin. Because I've been trying to do no screen.
Oh, no screen.
But I've been only trying to do 30 minutes. And podcasts I have mixed feelings on because I have to go on my screen to turn a podcast on. But that's the best. I've been able to, like, I can do it, but it definitely.
For me, it's like, as long as I don't open Instagram and start scrolling.
That doesn't count.
Because when I'm in bed.
What about WhatsApp? What about, like, your text?
No. I try not to. Nothing that's going to keep on my phone longer than 5 minutes, basically.
Okay.
Opening Spotify and pressing play, that's fine. But not, because the problem is then I'll be in bed for, like, an extra 30, 45 minutes. And, like, that could have been 45 minutes I spent.
Okay, maybe I could do it if I was allowed to start my emails.
Yeah, now I'm eating breakfast, which is new for me because I normally didn't do that. So it's like, for me, it's like, this is the moment where like I cook for myself. I make coffee for myself. Also, our friend Hillary told me she does something where she's like, looks at the sky for 30 seconds.
I've heard that before too. You're also supposed to like look at the sun.
Yeah,
like,
the sun or the sky directly. Or whatever. Like, but something natural essentially. Yeah. Like you're supposed to look at nature. Obviously, we live in a city, so it's a little difficult. So like
you have a couple of plants around here.
Yeah, but like looking outside, especially now that it's sunny and beautiful, like looking.
I actually
have been
trying to do that since she said that, which I think is an interesting idea. I always feel a little silly, like peeking my head out the window. But
I feel like, so it's weird because it's been much harder than I thought it would be. I'll do it for 2 days and then the third day I'm on my phone. But I will say the days that I don't look at my phone first thing in the morning, I'm so much more productive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's insane.
Well, you're not spiking your dopamine, so you don't like create a... Basically, what they tell you is you create a level very early in the day. So if you start a standard of like dopamine addiction in the first 30 minutes, basically it's like if you peak it to like 75 the first thing of the day, you're going to crave 75 the whole day. But if you keep it at like 30 for the first part of the day, maybe coffee is partly dopamine, you're not going to crave 75 the whole day, you're only going to crave 30. So it helps you not, like, for me, my biggest issue is I also probably, well, recently have been found out I probably have ADHD, and so also I also have to have my phone, a TV show, and my email up at the same time. I'm like out of control.
No, same.
My colleagues are like, you can listen to a podcast while you work. I'm like, girl, I can't work without a podcast. Like, I need 25 things in my...
I can't do podcasts because I need to concentrate. I'll do music or TV. like something I'm not paying attention to, but yeah, but that's my main. Okay,
so working on that. That's
how about
one.
You? So yeah. Yours is
no. I basically yeah. I did. I disabled my notifications, but I mean not just from social media, from WhatsApp too, because I find that to be triggering. I right. definitely have curated my feed. I had massive unfollows. Okay, I muted tons of people, good. And I mute people every day. I've never done the tech free zones, which is interesting.
That I like that. I'm gonna try to see what that could look like yeah. for me. I mean, normally, obviously, when I work out, go to the gym or whatever, or do yoga, like. I used to bring my phone with me, like with me to the class, and now I'm trying to leave it in the locker.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I definitely leave it when I go to spin. I leave it in the locker. Yeah. And I will say, you know, the most painful moments of my week are the moments right before they open the spin room and I have to stand in the hallway without yeah. my phone. And I'm like, this is horrifying. Like it's horrifying. I and I know girls bring their phone into class just so they don't have to go through that. And I challenge myself. I never bring it into class. I'm like, give myself, sometimes it's like 8 to 10 minutes just standing there.
I'm also trying to do it when, well, I know you're really good about this, but I try to do it when I'm with friends.
Oh, I'm really hate having my phone when I'm at the table with friends.
Like yesterday we were at the, I didn't look at my phone. I looked at my phone like maybe twice because I was, we're expecting people.
Oh, it was so nice not to have it. Yeah.
And then when I got home, I realized I had 78 messages from one of my group chats and I was like, okay, well, this is a tomorrow problem.
That's chaos. Yeah. That's why I muted mine though. Cause I'm like, I'm going to deal with it when I deal with it. I had this one colleague I worked with once. And she said every time she gets a text, she sees it as like a drain on her energy. And at the time I was like, that's so dramatic. Like, what are you talking about? And ever since she said that, it like planted this little seed in my brain. And I noticed, so that whole thing of like recognize your usage or recognize like the way you feel. Mm-hmm. I was noticing, this is the same as I was getting news notifications on my phone. Oh, and my I was God. Noticing this like, I'm like touching my chest now, but I was noticing this like jerk in my chest that was like a little mini nausea. Yeah. And I noticed it was happening when WhatsApp messages, like yeah. text WhatsApp for anyone who doesn't live abroad is basically like iMessage, but for people who live abroad. And like, I'd get that little jolt in my system. And I was like, I want to choose. And she used to say, I wish I could opt in to choose
yeah.
when I got a text. Cause like just getting it.
Like, I think it's fine as long as you communicate, like, sorry, I'm just catching up now. Also like, yeah, I think I don't think our brains are wired to be available to everyone at all times. And
I think that's exactly it.
If you feel overwhelmed, just like respond 3 days later and be like, hey, sorry, I am just catching up with everything.
I know. I agree with you. That's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
All right. Time for our next segment. How do you not know this? Danny, what are you telling me about today?
Since we're talking about this whole social media being on our phones 24/7, blah, 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 I want to talk about an app that I love. It's called Forest. Mm. And it's a productivity app. And I started using it like 4 years ago. And it's really great.
You've been using it for 4 years.
Wow, yeah. I mean, on and off. It's not like I use it all
the
time.
I've used it twice.
No, I use it a lot when I have specifically like work due or anything that's like I'm on deadline or whatever. I work on social, so the problem with my job is like when I pick up my phone to look at like a benchmark or a brand or whatever, then I spent 30 minutes looking at bullshit and I'm like, oh my God, I lost 30 minutes, but I'm supposed to be working. So I discovered this app called Forest. So essentially the way it works is like you opt in to quote unquote plant a tree. So you put a time that you're not touching your phone. Mm-hmm. So it could be 25 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, it can be an hour. And for that hour, the little app is quote unquote planting a tree. If you pick up your phone.
What do you mean the little app? Like, is it like a digital representation of planting a tree?
Yeah, it's like a little, like a digital forest.
Okay.
Right? And you have your own forest.
Okay.
And so if you use it every day, and you plant trees every day, you have a whole forest.
It doesn't plant trees in real life, does it?
They do, actually.
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, not. It's tied to, like, they're like part of like this. Like organization that plants trees in the Amazon on some shit. I don't know if it has anything to do with the trees you're planting and the productivity app, but they're linked to an organization that plants real life. And so the app is building this little tree for you. If you pick up your phone during the 25 minutes or whatever the time you set, then the tree dies and it says, well, try again. You picked up your phone.
It's like killing your Tamagotchi.
Yes, and I think there's something about seeing the dead tree and being like, you killed your tree, that you're just like, sometimes I'll look at it and I'm like, okay, I have 5 more minutes. I can do 5 more minutes, you know, like, and it's like this weird, I'm sure there's like a psychological study or like the reason they picked this theme, but there's something about like, okay, I need to look at my phone because like, you know, you're not looking at your phone for anything like urgent, right? Yes, yeah. So, and you're like, do I want to kill this tree?
It's like the, yeah, what is the trade-off? Like normally there's no trade-off other right. than like some sanity that seems far out that you're going to lose. Like here it's like a very visceral immediate yeah. thing, which is like the
and
death
I think
of
it's something
life.
About gamifying productivity yeah. Yeah. that's like I can do 5 more minutes, you know, you look at the timer, you're
I
like
I want to try it.
Yeah, you should.
I needed a better option because I have time limits set on everything and yeah. I just ignore them all. So
yeah, for me this works, and I think it's honestly something about the visual representation of you killing a tree cool. and the gamification of like, okay, I can do 5 more minutes, and then you look at your little, you know, forest that you've planted this week because you've been focusing for 25 minutes at a time. Something about that gives me like brings me joy.
I love that.
And it works. It works for me. So if you want to try it, it's called the Forest app. I'll send it to you after. Cool. We'll link it. And it's free. I think there's like a paid version, but you don't need the paid version for most of the features. And yeah, that's my
cool. That's I want to try it. That's so apropos tip. And so timely. Mine yeah. has nothing to do with anything we talked about. So
well, that's fine. Time. So what's yours?
You
tell
know
me.
What I'm going to talk about.
Oh yeah. Actually, okay. You're convincing me to watch. Not that I'm against watching the. I just feel like I'm
well,
watching
it's
too
so
many things
funny
right now.
Because okay, so I'm talking about gotta take a deep breath because I'm gonna start to talk. My feedback on this podcast is that I talk so quickly that it's actually incoherent to the average human, so I have to slow down. But it's Love on the Spectrum, which is I think one of the greatest TV shows ever made. Now I don't and I have a hard time with typical reality TV, which I know you don't. And no. So this is why I feel like it's so interesting, because I think people think it's reality TV, but like it is, but it's very,
it's
very
not like trashy. Or
yeah.
Like,
it's very different.
Not that Housewives is trashy, but it's not like, you know, 45-year-old women screaming
well,
at each
I
other.
Think so. This is the kind of difference. So it's basically it's people who are on the spectrum dating. It's a dating show for people on the spectrum, but it's so pure. And not in a way that is even remotely condescending, because I think I have so much respect for these people, first of all. These are a lot of people who have had very difficult lives, and they are putting themselves out there in the most, I'm getting chills thinking about it, like the most brave and difficult and vulnerable way. Like,
do you think they know?
Yeah. So there's varying degrees. Okay. There's varying degrees, but everyone really seems to be electively also choosing to come back for okay. different seasons.
I was going
to
say,
their
is it
families
the same people
are
every
very
season?
Involved. They have like each season has a couple from the last, a couple new. Their families involved. Like it's, they have a, whoever's matchmaking for them. The guy who runs the show, his name's like Cian or something. He's so, he like, you'll hear his voice talk to them. Like he's so gentle. If anyone is like panicking at a restaurant, he's like, hey, let's move you to a different table. Like you clearly need a different environment. Like they really protect them. They have a coach who comes in that's and works good. With them and teaches them. Like, but what I find so cathartic as someone who like, I can't figure out if I like it, cause it's just so human and I'm sensitive. And so I just like, cause I struggle with traditional reality TV because it's really hard for me to watch people be malicious and okay. ill-intentioned. Fair. I start to just like,
I'm like, I can't wait to see
I
it.
Know. And I like desperately wish I liked it more. Cause in theory, I really love, like, I kind of like the idea of Love is Blind, but it's so hard for me to watch people who have ill intentions.
Yeah.
Cause I just doubt human goodness. I know it's so dramatic, but I have a hard time. And when I watch Love on the Spectrum, these people have, for the most part, there's a couple of them that I'm like, you're a little fuckboy, I'm not gonna lie. But some of them, most of them have like such good intentions and just really want love and really want connection. They're not trying to fuck people around. They're just confused and
they're
seeking.
Like very honest.
They're so yeah. honest. And you'll watch these scenes of them just expressing, like a lot of the times they'll be in the middle of a conversation. They'll be like, hey, I don't know what to say. This is really weird and awkward. And I'm like, oh my God. Like
I've
same.
Seen clips and it feels very, it's like very feel good.
It's very feel good. It's very well edited.
Yeah.
Very well produced. And I just love it. And for anyone who needs something that restores hope in humans, hope in love. Like I left.
I was going to say, does anybody fall in love?
Oh,
no spoilers.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, this season, this stories. Is season 3, this season, guys, if you have not got to the end of the season, hold out. It is like, I was incandescently happy at the end of the aww, season. So, and I'm cute. Going, I'm going through, I think I'm finally done saying I'm going through a breakup. I just went through a breakup and I was like, I haven't had that much hope in finding love until I watched that show. So it's my favorite thing ever. Yeah. I just think it's like the best thing ever. I actually thought about DMing the creator and be like, do you need anyone to come and help you in the next time you film a series? I'm so obsessed with it that I would truly be an intern. This one is, they film in multiple places. Okay. So they had like some on the East Coast, some on the West Coast. They have an Australian version, which is really good too.
Okay.
But yeah, I just love it. So anyway, if you guys haven't watched it, I posted it to Instagram, but I didn't post what the show was. I just said this is the best scene. I had so many DMs asking me what it was, which I should have posted at the beginning. So
I need to watch.
Yeah, that's my ramble.
I know. I've seen some clips and it looks very cute.
I don't know if you like feel good stuff or you prefer to watch like you do.
Okay. No, I do. I'm not like a monster.
Don't worry. There's like awkward. It's like awkward and like funny too.
Yeah.
It's,
no, I think the only reason I've been not apprehensive to watch it, but it's just like I just want the best for them and I don't want to see anyone go through like.
I will say even the ones I 100% get that because I thought and I'm you know secondhand embarrassment's like really hard for anyone to watch, but it's exceptionally hard for me to watch. And this one because the producers and everyone is so gentle with them. It's like they're experiencing such raw emotions that we can relate to and everyone supports them and their family support them that it doesn't feel so painful that you can't watch. Certainly there's like some that you're like really feel sad for them, but it's not in a way that's like, I don't know, unbearable. It's not
hard to watch.
Yeah. It just, there's always like someone who's supporting them and with them and helping them.
Okay.
And yeah, I just think it's the greatest dating show ever. And it's made me like think about dating really differently.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And now it's time for our next segment.
Snack and spiral, spiral and snack. What's your snack?
My snack is this cookie, which it's not exactly, but it's sort of like an Italian Oreo situation. Just because
that's fair. That's a good description. Right? It's kind of like reversed Oreo colors, though.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And it's like it has like hazelnut chocolate in the middle, like that's the filling.
Hazelnut.
Yeah, it's like
that makes
it's like
sense.
Nutella, okay. Essentially. Yeah. So there's like the industrial one by Mulino Bianco, which is this like very famous.
Holy
like,
hell! Look at the accent.
Mulino Bianco. My name is Daniela, so I'm sort of Italian. Basically. So anyway, there's the mass-produced one, which is great. I love it. I don't look down on it or anything, but I recently discovered there is a place in Paris called Pasticceria or Pasticceria. Simona, and it's in the second, and it's this basically an Italian bakery, and they have all the Italian treats, including an artisanal / homemade version of this industrial made cookie. So it's like if a bakery in the U.S. decided to make like homemade Oreos or something like that.
Yeah.
So I've only had the one that you can find and care for anywhere. I love those. Like, I really love those. Like, I took them to the sun yesterday.
I love them so much.
I just think they're so good.
Yeah, it's
and they're
true.
Like small and you can eat like a bunch of them. And yep. You're just like, how did I eat a whole pack of these?
So this brand makes a bunch of other kinds of cookies, right?
Yes. Yeah. And they're all good, honestly. Uh-huh. Everything they make is great. Something about it being Italian makes it feel more elevated. It's probably like the same shit.
Italy, but yes.
It's like probably like the same shitty ingredients they put in like
I know.
In like American junk food, but something about it being like Mulino Bianco, you're like, oh, this is Nocciola. Okay, I'm gonna eat, you know, you're just like, this is so elevated. And it's probably like the same shit that's killing all of us, but it's so good. But anyway, so I'm a big fan of the industrial made ones, the ones you can find everywhere. But now I'm actually gonna this week I'm gonna go to this place.
Post
in the
on
second.
The IG.
I will post in the IG and I'm gonna try the artisanal one and see like the difference. But
tell me how it is. I'm very curious.
Yeah. Well,
go on.
What's yours?
Oh,
my spiral?
Yeah.
Okay, it'll be quick and it's funny because
it has to be quick.
I mean, there's not that much to say. But it's gonna be controversial.
Uh oh.
And it's the good weather in Paris /
oh my
sun.
Gosh, that's all I'm living for.
So I'm being a little hypocritical because I just said how I loved, you know, the weather the past week. But the problem and the reason I'm quote unquote spiraling about it is like I just feel like I can be productive in this weather because it's
okay,
like,
yeah, fair.
You're like, it's sunny every day. I need to be out in a terrace having like my coffee or reading my book or having lunch outside. And so the reason I hate it, it's like, we need a break. We need like one rainy day. Like, let's have like three sunny days.
We
like
need
one
permission
rain.
To be, yeah, like
productive,
to stay inside.
To be inside.
People, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so.
Also to be lazy. Like, I was like, lazy, this morning, yeah. I felt so guilty. I was so tired. But I was like, I have to get out. Like,
but
I couldn't.
But also, it's like the sun comes out and all of a sudden, it's like my bank account.
Oh,
there's no
drained.
Rules. It's like.
It's
breakfast
like
outside? Sure. Yeah. It's sunny. Lunch outside? Might as well. The sun is out.
We all have massive scarcity mindset towards the sun living here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to me, I'm like, this past week, I feel like I didn't get anything done. I would go out for like, okay, my one productive thing. I'm gonna go to a yoga class today. And it's like, it's so nice outside. Why don't we just have lunch outside? And so all of a sudden.
You trapped me one day. Yeah, I was exactly. Like, no, I'll just swing by. I'm like, sit there 2.5 hours later. I'm like.
So to me, I'm like, I love that it's sunny and it's nice in Paris. Also, people go feral. Like yesterday was super nice in Paris.
I didn't know there was this many people in Paris. That's crazy. The streets are flooded
with people. On my way back home on the metro, the amount of waste, not really? Drunk, wasted people.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
I was like, well, I don't know if you noticed this at one point, but there was this girl next to us in the sun that was like, her friends had to like prop her up.
No.
She was so drunk. She was about to throw up next to a tree. And like her friends were like propping her up because that's how drunk. And it was like 5 p.m. Oh my God.
You know, this morning I jogged past, this is very visceral, I jogged past like a pile of vomit. And then next to it are just 2 high heel shoes that were taken off. And I'm like, I need to know. The story behind whatever happened.
That's what
here.
I'm saying. Like Parisians, like we don't know how to handle like I continuously. Think that's true. Like when it's continuously sunny, like when it's like 5 days in a row, people like go feral, mm-hmm. lose their minds.
And guess we're, what, like, everyone? It's gonna be sunny for the next until like 5 days.
Sunday.
Yeah.
And we're like losing our minds. We're like
nobody put it on my was credit working card.
Yeah. Nobody was working. Yeah, I went out on like Friday at 2 p.m. Every terrace was packed. Completely with packed. People.
I know.
I was like,
everyone played hockey.
I don't have a job, like, but all, what's your excuse?
Exactly. Same.
So I do think we need a little rain, not okay, like, not like winter in Paris where you don't see the sun for 3 weeks, but like for every 3 sunny days we get like 1 rainy
day. I want it to be more rainy during the week and the weekends are sunny, but the last like few months we've had like sunny weekdays and then rainy weekends, so that's what I want. Like
I just need to be productive again and I need to stop spending money.
Yeah,
so that's my about
me spiral. Is I kind of spend money rain or shine, so yeah. I'm kind of egalitarian.
Yeah, but
spender.
I do think that I'm like, again, I'm more like,
it's kind of like the whole like fuck it,
yeah,
that kind of behavior.
Well,
it's sunny.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna have coffee outside
and
it's
like, yesterday whoa. I just paid for lunch for everyone. I was like, no reason, just was like, okay. It's on me, everyone. I'm like,
why?
I don't
it's
know.
Sunny.
Just, I don't know why I did it either.
I'm dead.
Anyway. I'm always like that. Yeah.
Well, tell me yours. What's your
well,
snack?
I'm snacking on, we're kind of in a cookie world, cookie vibe right
we're
now.
We're clearly very healthy.
I'm doing the Petite Bear cookies.
They're very good.
I'm pretty sure this one is actually the classic one. Is it? The Lou ones?
Looks like it to me.
Yeah. So my mom used to bring these home for us from Paris when she traveled. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. They look so basic, but they are so rich. They're incredible. Have you ever spread butter on one?
You put butter on top?
I'm not putting on
it. By the way, this is marketed as a butter cookie already.
So the butter cookie with a little butter spread on top and a little flaky sea salt.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
So I'm going to die young, but it's okay. They're delicious. They're fantastic. So they're like, I just love them so much. And so that's it. I just think
they're French.
Like
the
perfect
snack. Just like the Italian ones. Exactly. They're not. They're more elevated.
They're more elevated. I think they're weirdly not as filling. Like you look at them and you think that it looks kind of healthy. And so you think you're going to eat them and like be filled up. You could eat like 25 in one sitting.
I was going to say I hadn't had one in a while. I just had one and they're lighter than I remembered.
Yeah. So you can eat a lot.
Yeah.
And my danger now is not that I have a pack. Like I will have these in the morning when I wake up every day now until they're gone, which is danger.
I'm the same way with the similar ones. They're Lou, whatever they're called. Lou, that's a brand.
I guess.
The ones that it's like same base, but it's like a chocolate square.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I really good. Like those too.
Love.
It's true. Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. Thing.
What are you spiraling about?
Spiraling. Okay. You know, when we get like to this age, everyone like thinks we need like responsible, healthy cleaning products.
Yes.
So yeah. I just like everyone's advising us like, don't use like bleach or don't use like all the chemicals. So I try to clean with vinegar. Something about cleaning with vinegar is like, why is my whole house smell like food? I like salt and vinegar chips. Actually, right now, clean my toilet with vinegar this morning. Biggest mistake of my fucking life because I have salt and vinegar chips in my closet. Now, every time I eat the salt and vinegar chips, I smell a toilet because they've become the same thing in my head. I don't like my whole apartment to smell like some version of food. It's never worked for me. I never get when they do it. The worst is if they do it in
Airbnb. I don't think it really works.
It's horrible. So I will never do it again. And I'm going to clean with like whatever the 405 most like intense thing possible.
Yeah, like give those, me the chemicals.
Oh, I'm going back to bleach.
We're eating microplastics every day.
Every
anyway,
day.
So who cares?
Did you hear they're like seeping you when you eat gum?
Yeah.
You're like eating microplastics.
Yeah. They're like everywhere. They're not. Didn't they find them in the water? It's like we're fucked. Okay. But no, I agree with you. I hate those like you know, granola yoga studios where, like, you're going to clean the mat that smells like shit already because, like, 27 people have sweat on it that day.
With salt and vinegar chips? And then are you kidding?
Vinegar. And I'm like, you're fucking kidding me right now. Yeah, I hate it.
Also, Paul would do that all the time. Did Paul do it?
No. Well, my French ex would do it. Paul tried to clean our espresso machine with vinegar because, like, you know.
They tell you to do that. Yeah, that's true.
And to be fair, I'm glad he did, because if it weren't for him, I would never clean that machine. And
yeah, as we've established, you're not the cleaner in the relationship.
And but the problem is then it's basically like an espresso machine. And then on the side, it's like there's a milk foamer, which he doesn't use because he doesn't drink coffee with milk. But I do. And that little piece, for whatever reason, tasted like vinegar.
No.
My fucking coffees tasted like vinegar for like 2 weeks. Ugh. It was horrible. No. And so to me,
what do you even do in that situation? I guess you have to do like soap and water.
I don't even know. But after a few days, like, it wasn't 2 weeks, but after a few days, it ended up getting fixed, or like it went away, or maybe I got used to it. I'm not sure. But I just don't like the smell of vinegar in the cleaning context because it doesn't smell clean to me.
No, agreed. That's it. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
and that's the episode.
I wish, like, maybe we shouldn't end the episodes with like the most negative note every single time.
And vinegar should be banned.
But yeah, thanks for joining us. I think this sparked a ton of other conversations that we're going to have down the road.
There's so many things we could talk about.
We have like half of our outline that we didn't get to.
I know. This is social media, such a complex topic. So we just want to try to get to most of it or everything. Obviously not in one sitting because it would be like a 4-hour long episode. But this is like first part, the basics. And then maybe we'll cover more.
And be gentle on us. Can you guys stop judging us for how we use social media? That's me speaking directly to any guy I've ever been on a date with. So
exactly. And can you please stop giving unsolicited advice to both of us?
Oh my God. Yeah. Also, like, when you tell me that time helps with the breakup, let me just say I've heard that. I appreciate all your love, but like when they're like, babe, all it takes is time. Yeah. And I'm like, that's just unfortunately right now so unhelpful and really not. I know.
I think that's also the way you deliver the message. I think if people are really nice about it, maybe you'll.
It's true. If someone's like, hey, I know this is annoying, but it's time.
Yeah. Like sure. When someone's did you work at BuzzFeed? No. No.
That is still a weird one. I think they thought you must have edited yourself. You think there's like a BuzzFeed filter that can filter you as if you looked like you worked at BuzzFeed in 2015?
Maybe they thought it was like AI. I was like, ChatGPT. At this point, I can't tell the difference.
My whole Instagram feed is like AI? This furry mammal that was discovered in the water. I sometimes can't tell.
I can definitely tell. You can tell? It's always off. There's something off always. I remember when the LA fires were happening. A bunch of people I know, including a girl that I know, that had to message her, be like, you know, this is fake, right? It was like this viral video of like firefighters going in the forest and like rescuing like animals, but it was like clearly fake. And so everybody's creepy. Like, our heroes. And I was like, that bear has four legs. Or like, no, sorry, that bear has like, I don't know.
Like when you see the hand and the seven hand has like arms. 16 claws coming
out. It was clearly. Also, I think one of the animals rescued was like a polar bear. And I was like, there's no polar bears.
Oh my God.
In LA.
Okay, you have more common sense than me because I've definitely been duped by a few. But yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, thanks guys for coming. DM us your thoughts on social media, LOL, to do it on a social media platform. But let us know what you think.
Connect on social.
We won't be mad at you.
We hate those. Just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.